come to your presence this evening by the blood of Jesus, I confess my sins of omission and of commission. Father, we receive forgiveness by faith, the cleansing by the blood of Jesus, and the purging of our conscience from all dead works to serve a living God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this privilege you have given once again. Honor your covering of the spiritual fathers over this house to teach your word. Father, I humble myself. Lord, recognize that Lord, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that mindeth, but unto whom you show mercy. That your mercy be upon me today in spite of my inadequate preparations. Lord, help me to teach, to preach, to minister effectively as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, Lord, we cause our words to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened by the revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Father, as we go into your word, I duck under the covering of the spiritual fathers, and that covering will avail much for me today. Lord, help me to redeem time, not to say things that are necessary. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in comfort and love of the Spirit. Do an internal work in the hearts of those that hear the word today, bringing refreshing to all of us here gathered, in particular my spiritual parents. Thank you, Father. Help me to redeem time, not to say things that are necessary. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Say to God, I prepare ye the way of the Lord. Praise the Lord. The background, let me give background of this message, was when Pastor Kunle was teaching on Sunday, and then he opened the Bible and read from Isaiah 40, reading from verses 3 and 5. You can put it on the board. Then Pastor Lita shared concerning that. So I began to ponder in my heart, and since that time till yesterday night, God began to speak to me, and I had to actually go back to pick the book Rema that Pastor has preached many years ago, one in 2008 and the other one in 2003. You know, when I picked up and I saw that, my God, not as if I've let those things sleep, but they came to me in a better way. You know, you preach on the highway to Zion and then the highway of holiness. So let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 and we'll start reading from verse 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's all read together. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Next verse. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Then the next verse. Pastor talked about this on Sunday. And said, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Why? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That means it's a sure banker. And like Pastor was saying, he said something, and he said that if the highway is not prepared, then the glory cannot be seen. So from this scripture that we can see now, it says that the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He said, make a highway unto our God. As we go on, we'll see the difference between the way and the highway. And I once again encourage us, we can go back to study this weekly rema to have a better understanding. Pastor shared concerning these things many years ago. And many times when you come here to pray, mommy, praise for me. We confess it, we sing it about the highway becoming, the mountains becoming plains and all that. But see, when you read this verse of scripture, it's not talking about a literal way. Like maybe go to the Kalahari Desert or anything. As you see, all these things are symbols, types and shadows. It says that the voice of him that cried in the wilderness. Yeah, if you remember, when John the Baptist came on the scene, the Bible says that he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing. And when he came out, they said, who are you? He said, I'm the voice of him that cried in the wilderness. So that speaks of the prophetic and the apostolic voice. If you read the book of Isaiah, it says that Isaiah 66, he said, a voice of noise in the city, a voice that rendered recompense unto his enemies. He said, before she traveled, she brought forth. So there is a voice ministry that God has raised up and is also raising up. And they have one primary job to do. This prophetic ministry, it speaks about the prophetic and the apostolic ministry. You see, I read in one of the book of fathers years ago, Brother Lee Papa again. He said that in the Old Testament, you never see any word mentioned apostle throughout the Old Testament. That came into being when Lord Jesus Christ called the 12 apostles. But if you see the read book of Jeremiah, you see the function of an apostle embedded in his ministry. He said to plant and to build. Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. Are you following me? So you see that voice ministry
has an assignment to do, and it is to prepare the way of the Lord. So when you see that voice, there is no voice coming from a literal wilderness. He's talking about the prophetic voice and the apostolic ministry that God has raised up to prepare way. And we are very privileged in the house to be under that kind of ministry. And I'm sure there are many others that have come that God has raised up all over the world. And the assignment is to prepare the way of the Lord. Are you following me? So this is the function of this apostolic and prophetic ministry. And it says that when that way is prepared, then the glory of the Lord will appear and all flesh shall see together. When I revised, I went back to that with my pastor. I said it many times. The only way that could not have happened many years ago. But because of present day technology, like we are here now, there are people that are watching us all over the world. It says all flesh shall see together at the same time. Just like people are watching us right now, where we are, when that glory is manifest, everybody that is connected to either the internet or is watching, they will see the glory together. That is the only way it can occur. That tells us that we are right at that time. You know, this is the season that it can occur. All the things have been said, like Pastor said years ago, he said that when Jesus Christ said, when he appears in the air, all eyes shall see. I used to wonder, you know, in those days, if I got born again, that is a lie, can you see him? We know that if the sun is, we say that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Those that are, we that can see the sun today, those on the other side of the world cannot see. But the only way that will be possible is through technology. CNN and others will carry. So, this is where we are right now. And what I was saying, this is the timing. Let us begin to look at what do we mean by the way and the highway. It's very, very simple. So we're not thinking in natural terms of making a road in the wilderness. Are you following me? The way here speaks about the love of God. Let's say it together. The way and the highway speaks of the love of God. That is what the apostolic and the prophetic ministry have been raised up to do. To prepare the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's put some scriptures behind him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Put in Amplified and we'll read together. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Amplified. What is it? Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say Jesus be caused. Help me, Lord. Yes, that's good. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and the best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet what? I will show you a more excellent way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. One that is what? Better and far and the highest of them all. And he defines it, says it is love. So let us get that way, and the highway is the way of love. You see, but anytime you see the way, every way has to lead to a destination. You can't get on the way now without a destination. Are you following me? You see, walking in love, practicing the principles of love, it leads us somewhere, which is very, very important. You find out when Paul was talking here, he sandwiches verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in between 12 and 14, which talks about the love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 verses 4 to 8. Say love endures long, is patient and kind. So in verse 12 it says, you can desire gifts and all these things, but I show you a more excellent way of getting those gifts, which is going via the highway of the perfection of the love of God. Let's put one more scripture behind before we move on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 1. Let's put in the Amplified again. 14 verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. So you can see that he's talking about the love. So the way here is the way of love. And it says that, and make it your what? Aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowment. So make the love of God the greatest quest of your life. You see, if we understand what it means to perfect the love of God in our lives, we will put it, like Pastor says, in the front burner of our lives. It will be the first thing you do every morning. Bible says, faith worketh by love. Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Say, but the greatest of this is love. So he's talking here about the way of love or the highway of love. There's a little bit of difference between the way and the highway, even though it's love. I'll explain as time goes on. So this highway is to be prepared where? It's not a physical highway that you put your tower on. It's to be prepared in the hearts of men. Psalm 84 verse 5 in the Amplified. Psalm 84 verse 5. God wants that highway or that way to be in our hearts. Let's see. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is what? Is the man whose strength is in you and in whose heart are the what? Highways to Zion. So that highway of love must be in your heart. And the destination is Zion. So when you start off on that highway, when you prepare that highway, the highway of love, and begin to walk in love, you are walking towards Zion. And the Bible says that, what is Zion? Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty God has shined. Zion speaks about the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So you see, when that way is prepared, that way of love, as you begin to walk in love, practice these principles of love, of perfection, you are walking towards Zion. It is very critical. If you go back to that scripture read in Isaiah 40, it says that, make straight, it talks about preparing a way and a highway. You see, but that way is taking us somewhere. It's taking us to Zion, which is the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. Please stay with me. I trust that God will have mercy. So it says that, back to Isaiah 40. It says, the voice of him that cried in where? The wilderness. That says wilderness. Wilderness. If you notice, in the time of John the Baptist, literally, it was in the wilderness until the day of his showing. But if you summarize his message, he said something. He preached a message of repentance. But he said something. He said, now the axe is laid at the root of every tree. He said, every tree that does not bring forth fruit. So the summary of his message was to bring forth fruit. And the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then I began to ask him, what do we do? Notice, he did not do any miracle. But he came to prepare that way of love. And he began to give them instructions. He said that you have two coats, give this to somebody, do exact. He was preaching a message, but it was a message of love that was preparing that way until love in the person of Lord Jesus Christ appeared himself on the scene. So you see now, the destination is Zion, which is the, I was saying, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. So the wilderness here is symbolic of the souls of Christians presently. You know, the spiritual barrenness of a soul. Are you following me? That is what he's talking about. The wilderness of the soul. You see, I don't want to go to Isaiah 35. Let's go there and let's just read briefly. You know, Isaiah 35, let's from verse 1. 35 verse 1 talks about, you see, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall what? Rejoice and blossom as a rose. Next verse. It says that, and it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing, and what? The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall do what? See the glory of Lord and the excellency of our God. You know, it goes on to say, strengthen your weak hands, you know, confirm the feebleness. It says, in your wilderness are waters break out and streams in your desert. Talks about the wilderness of the soul. That is what he's talking about. The soul of you and I. Presently, that is condition that most people are in. You know, until we now begin to come to a place, you know, that our soul speaks about the will, the stubborn will, the rebellious will of man that is not submitted to the will of God. Each time Pastor shares, he says that our wills be submitted into the to humility. Father, that is the, and that the reason why the soul is in a state of wilderness is because of the satanic nature. I don't have time to turn there. When we're talking about Satan, I think it's the book of Ezekiel. He said, when you people come and look at him, are you the one that make the world the wilderness? So the state of the soul of man is in a wilderness because of his sin nature. And that's the whole essence of our Christian work, to flush out that sin. The Bible says that, having therefore this promise, let us perfect holiness in the fear of God. Using those promises to remove the sin nature from the soul, and able to break that stubborn, to remove that rebellious nature in the soul, so that the soul can be tempered and controlled and subject to humility, and also the mind to be enlightened with revelation knowledge, so you no longer see through a glass darkly. And it speaks about the emotions also, to be controlled by the power of the Spirit, so your emotions are no longer running riot. Praise the Lord. So that is what God wants to do and is doing presently. Now, what we need to know is that, then why is God bringing this message to us again? We've heard it over and over. There's nothing I'm going to say. Pastor has shared you. We've heard it many times about the perfection of love of God. There are three points I wrote down, which I believe are very important, based on what was shared on Sunday. You see, because if that highway does not lead us to Zion, we cannot get the glory. Why? Because the glory is going to manifest in Zion. Let's look at Bibles, the book of Psalm 102, verse 16. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are we there? Psalm 102, verse 16. Let us say, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall do what? Appear in his glory. So before that appearing can occur, there has to be a building up of Zion. And what builds? The Bible says love edifies. Edify means to build up. So you see, before the glory can appear, there has to be a way of love that is prepared. And Zion will now begin to build herself up in the love of God. Use his blood, word, and spirit. I'm getting out of myself. And as Zion builds himself up, you know, to a very big edifice, the glory will appear. The Bible says that all flesh shall see together when that glory does what? Manifest. So that is point number one. The glory is going to manifest in Zion. But remember, if the way is not prepared and people don't walk in that way, there can be no glory. That's why there's an urgency in the spirit. If we listen to the message that have been coming recently, that have been, people should get ready, you know, it's going to appear. As you round off the message, you see why it's very important. That one of the things that God showed me. The second point that I have is that the church, through the wrong leadership, are forsaking the highway. As is majority of the state of the church, they have taken the byways. You see, many people are not walking this love walk. Most of the messages you hear today are need-oriented, entertainment-based, you know, that like Papa Kelly said. They don't focus on preparing the way. So the people of God cannot move through the wilderness onto Zion. And as long as we keep on wandering that wilderness, that will not be our portion. Those that wandered in those days, they perished in the wilderness. And God said with them, God was not well pleased. I can contrast that to Lord Jesus Christ. When he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Yeah. We need to link those two. They wandered in the wilderness. Bible says if 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Let's just read it. I think 1 Corinthians, God was talking about our fathers in the wilderness. You know, they had they had manna, they passed through the cloud, they drank from the rock. And it says that, but with many of them, God was not what? Well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. They never entered the promised land of the perfection and fullness of God, which is our own. I mean, it was a real estate in the Old Testament. And follow me. So that is very, very important. So I said something earlier. Let me butcher the scripture. I said that, look, the majority of in the church have left the highways and have gone and taken the byways. The byways represents when you leave these distractions, focusing on prosperity, healing, deliverance, all those things are in the highway. They are not taking to which matter of the law. Are you following? Let's open our Bibles to Judges chapter 5 and we'll read from verse 6 to 7. We see a man called Shamgar. When I went to check the name of Shamgar, I thought it means stranger. You can check it when you get home. Majority of the church are under strange children. Whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood that have taken them off the highway to the byway. So let us see Judges chapter 5, verse 6. Says that in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, abandoned totally. Hardly will you hear people preaching about the perfection and love of God. And that is the highway. Many people have taken the byway. And what? Travelers, I follow me, walk through byways. Shortcuts, you know, messages that will not take us to fulfill our promise, our destiny. That is Shamgar. You go and check it in the Bible. Or if you have a Bible that interprets them. His name means stranger. How says, rid me of strange children. Are you following me? Whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood? I follow me. They offer up strange fire like the sons of Aaron. All their gatherings. Strange fire. Any fire that you offer up unto God that is not based on the love of God is strange fire. Because the motivation is wrong. Your motivation should be love. That's why when you wake up in the morning, Pastor has taught us, you take that love book and you pray. Then you set your will aright to walk in love. Are you following me? Let's read in the Message Bible to get a clear understanding. Because Shamgar also speaks about his type of soul leadership. Let's read Message Bible. What does it say? In the time of Shamgar, the son of Anath, and in time of Jael, public roads, highway, are you following me? We are supposed to be public for everybody, you know. We are abandoned. Travelers went by back roads. Shortcuts. Let's say kese, koro. Are you following me? Like he gave Jesus Christ, said, if you bow to me, I will give you all this. Majority are bound in the church today. Next verse. And see this very important. Warriors became what? Fat and sloppy. No fight left in them. So as a consequence of that, Bible says, I, Deborah, arose. We'll get to the third point, which is a change in leadership. Deborah is a type of a new leader, apostolic and prophetic ministry that God is raising up. But you see, if you notice, he said that warriors became fat and sloppy, no fight left in them. You remember the time of Saul, when they had to go and fight the Philistines. He said they had no weapons. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had weapons. So they had to go to the Philistines to go and borrow. So you can see, the walls became fat and sloppy. And know what? Fight left in them. He said, Ephraim turned back in the day of battle. They don't have the strength to go like David and the mighty men to possess Zion. That is the sorry state of the church. But God is going to change it. He is going to, he's changing it. Let's look at Shammai again to get an idea. You see, Bible only gave this guy a few verses. Bible says, who God is their belly? Judges chapter 3, verse 31. I call the ministry of the ox God. Judges chapter 3, it says, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew what? Of Philistine 600 men with an ox goad, and delivered Israel. It's not because these people are not doing things or have God moving their means. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall cast out devils, shall do cures. But do not be deceived. He said, depart from ye that walk iniquity. I never knew you. You see, Shamgar here, this strange guy, that's his name. He also delivered and he killed 600 Philistines with ox goad. What is the ox goad? It's a sharp pointed stick that they used to drive oxen. They used to prick them. You see, they will use it to, if you go and check it, they will use it when the oxen are going in front. I can, they use that stick like this to prod them. You know, oh yeah, go here. You know, let me use the natural term, you understand it. They used to choke them. Have a goon. And I was studying, like I said, this guy too, it's the same thing that happened to Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 5. The first battle that Saul will face when he was coming from the field, put in Amplified. That means Saul too, using a typology, was really people of God with an ox goad. Instead of thy rod and thy shepherd, Bible said they'll comfort me. But let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse. Amplified. What does it say? Now Saul came out of what field after the oxen. So once you have oxen, you must have ox goad. Are you following me? And he was said, what hails the people that they are weeping? And they told him words of the men of Jabesh. So you see, Saul too, you know the difference between somebody that has a herd of cattle or ox is that, you see, the Bible says, I'm the good shepherd and I go before my sheep and my sheep follow me. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But here you see Saul is behind them. And they begin to go there. Go here. Go here. Similar to what Jacob did. When he was facing a situation he could not handle, he now departed into different companies. I said, okay, you go first. The problem is this. This is how you know this ministry. They are not ready to lay down their life for the sheep. They are not ready. They go there, go before. So you find out that Jesus Christ said something. He said, if one sheep is lost, he said, we'll go to the mountain to go and get it. That is the difference. That is the difference. David, when he lost one sheep, he ran and said, his lion took it. I brought it out and then fought the bear, but this and the lion. But the Saul ministry, Shamgar, they don't mind if they lose all their sheep. It does not concern them. You see, we're going to see later on in the book of Ezekiel chapter 4, where it says that you have left the sheep scattered. That's a sorry story. You see, when we say that, what does that mean in present day? Many are dying and perishing in the wilderness. You see, Moses led the people through the wilderness. He did not stand at the back and say, go ahead. That's the difference. The Bible says that Moses knew the ways of God, but Israel the acts. So you can imagine when you had a leader like Shamgar or Saul that know, they don't know the ways of God, but only acts of God. Miracle, signs and wonders. That's what they center their ministry around. And bring it to God, the people of God. Tell them why they fleece the sheep. That is what they're after. They are not ready to lay down their lives for the sheep. They don't care. Just like I said, he that enters without it is a thief and a robber. In another way, not the highway. The Father said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So that is what we are saying. The third point I mentioned in the passing, I said there is going to be a change of leadership. God is removing Saul, we've been taught over and over, and is Shamgar. It's the same thing. To replace Deborah will replace Shamgar. I don't have time to talk about Deborah. It dwelt under the tree. You can open it somewhere in the. He said he dwelt under the tree. Deborah speaks as though it's a woman. So talks about the church. It was him and this guy. I forgot his name. His name means light bearer. I don't have time to turn there. What's this guy's name that went to war with him? And he told him, he said, go. He said, God will deliver Israel through the hand of a woman. But she was a prophetess abiding under submission under a tree. It's somewhere in Judges. Somewhere in Judges. I don't have time to turn there. So what I was saying, God is moving Saul and raising up a new leadership after the pattern of David. Speaking about the apostolic and the prophetic ministries, who will prepare the way through their teaching on the perfection of the love of God. Let's look at David, Psalm 78, read from verse 70 to 72. We talked about Shamgar, we talked about Saul, the ministry of the ox god that stays behind their flock. Barak means light bearer. Are you following me? So he chose David. Let's look at it. He chose David. When did he choose David? He said that I gave you a king and I took him away in my wrath. He said he chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds in the wilderness. Next verse. Why did he choose David? From following the hues, great with young, he brought him to feed what Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. Next verse. See, so what did he do? Let's go. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. That is the ministry we are under, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body. Till we all come. There's a purpose. That's where we are being fed every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. We are being fed. I'm going to be grateful to God and to honor them that God has set over us. It's very rare outside. Very rare. So we need to stay under the ministry of David and not go under Shamgar. Even though you can kill 600 Philistines, but brother, they're going to prick you with that ox goad. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So this is what God is doing. He's removing Saul and bringing in David. He's removing Shamgar and bringing in Deborah. Ezekiel 34. We just read a few verses to explain what God is doing. Do not say, when will these things happen? We have heard it. Saul is going to go. David is coming in. My brother, Papa Raph said something. Said, God is as faithful to the strength as his promises. God is not a man to lie, neither is the son of man to repent. Saul may still be in existence physically, but he's dead. The day Saul died was the day that God rejected him. Not when he went to reach at Endor after he died. That day God said, I've rejected him. He had been retired gatekeepers. That was the day. Just like God said, in the day you eat of that tree of that fruit, in that day you will die. You will have been looking at that and say, he's not dead now. Maybe God is not a man to lie. So what is Exodus chapter 34 verse 2? Just rush through. 34 verse 2. I just read. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, against them. It's not a prophecy for them. It's against them. And it says that, thus said the Lord God unto the shepherds, says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel, that what do not feed, that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? That is why he has read of the fivefold ministry, to feed the flock. He told Peter, he said, who is that wise servant? When his Lord will come, that has prepared meat for his house in due season. There's meat in due season. Peter, you love me? He said, feed my sheep. Thank you, sir. He said, love me, feed my lambs. He said it three times. As a matter of two or three weeks, let every word be established. So Peter, don't make a mistake about what I'm trying to tell you. Your destiny is to feed my sheep. He said, when you are old, when you are young, you went without you were go. There was a time that Peter too was a Shamgar. But it's translated under the means of Jesus Christ. And he began to feed people. Because he said in 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 5, he said to the elders, he said, feed the flock that is among you. So we're not condemned, but you can make this transition. Take it over, say them, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. That's the point. You see, when your motivation is not love, that's why you see the highway must be prepared. If your motivation is not love, you'll be seeking people of filthy lucre. So you come to a church like this, you see people here, and say, I'm not offering. I say, Pastor, can we change this message to Sunday? When there will be more people. Filthy lucre! Cyrus, he shall set them free, not for price, not for reward. Freely you have received, freely give. You can't pay for healing. Amen. Just pay for it. Amen. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Verse 4. The disease, let's read. The disease, have you not strengthened? Neither have you healed that which was sick, nor have you bound up that which was broken. Now have you brought again that was driven away. Now have you sought that which was lost. But with what force the ox goad. And with cruelty you have what ruled them. Verse 10. I don't want us to waste time. Help me, Holy Spirit. Thus saith the Lord God. It's God that said it to. Thus saith the Lord God. Behold, second time, I am against thee, the shepherds. And I will require what? My flock at your hand. Stop. It says, obey and submit to them that have rule over you. But they will give an account. Every shepherd will give an account. Amen. Every shepherd that God has raised up, other that has taken the byway, will give an account. Amen. That was the fear that made David run after the bear. Because the sheep were not his own. They belonged to his father. A type of God the Father. And he will not come home that day and say, "Ah, God, what else?" His father will say, "Jesse, I gave you 100. What are you coming back to do? You bought back 99. So he, at the risk of his life, he ran after that bear. But he said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know why? Every sheep you see, either is weak now or not, we have the same destiny to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if the Paul had died? If you had seen Paul at that time, say, don't mind this one, let him just die, call fire down on him. But somebody rescued him through forgiveness, Stephen. That's how you rescue people, though. That's how you rescue people, though. Then a lion came again. He went and grabbed him. And Lord just comes in the book of John. He says that, I'm the good shepherd. He said that if you lose one sheep, he said you leave 99 on the mountain. I'm going to look for that one and bring it back. Because it will give an account. Let's read. Help me, Holy Spirit. In time. 23. Help me, Holy Spirit. 23. 2, 3. And I will set up one shepherd over them. Yes. God has sent Jesus. God has set some. You know what he says? One shepherd. David here is a type. It's a company. It's a Davidic dynasty. It's not one physical person. It's the prophetic and the apostolic bridge that God is raising up, in particular in this end time, to prepare the highway. So he said, so he was using David as a type. I know the quality of David, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will, which is love. So he says that, who will what? And he shall feed them, even my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Last verse in Ezekiel 24. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me. 24. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's a sure banker. Amen. So if you believe that the glory will appear in Isaiah 40, definitely a new leadership will emerge, as you can see. So, how will this happen? We've talked about the glory is appearing in Zion. We can't take a stroll into Zion. There are rough places on the way. I say the highways are in the hearts to Zion and their hearts. If Zion was just something you can walk across, that it would have been there long ago. The Jebusites are there. There is a way to go up the way of the water spout.
Hallelujah.
We're not going to talk about that today. But what about Isaiah 40 verse 4? Isaiah 40 verse 4. Back to Isaiah 40. What does it say? It says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked edge shall be made straight, and the rough places made plain. What is the Bible talking about? Ibadan is not a wilderness. Neither is the promised land, so to speak, in the natural. So what is the wilderness? We said it's the wilderness of the soul. So what is the valley is talking about? The valley speaks about low self-esteem, condemnation that we still have, discouragement. But the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You see, how do you overcome or fill these valleys? How do you feel it? Literally speaking, you feel the valley. The cure for filling the valleys is by having a revelation knowledge of your right standing with God. Based on the blood, the frequent use of the blood. When you sin now, you feel guilty. I just heard a message about going to Zion. And next thing, I just misbehave. Then you feel guilty. No! Feel that valley. Say, Father, I confess our sins. If we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are feeling that valley. The importance of the blood. And then based on your security in the love of God. God loves you anyway. So like Pastor says, when you sin, don't run away from God. Run to God. How do you do that? Confess your sins and receive forgiveness. Say it's faithful and just to forgive. Don't be under guilt or condemnation. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read verse 2 verses. 1 verses 6 and 7. Say, wherein you have been accepted in the beloved. I say to the praise of the glory of his grace. When he had made us what? Accepted in the beloved. Say, I've been accepted in the beloved. It's not about what you have. Alright, some people not qualify. Some of us will never qualify. Next verse. Now see how. In whom we have redemption through his blood. What? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So when you stand using that blood, you are accepted. That is a new and living way that has made for us. So the next thing is talking about the mountains and hills. That is very simple to understand. If you go and check that with Jeremiah, you'll see everything there. Pastor explained it there. He's talking about pride, haughtiness, arrogance. Everyone has that thing there. Because that is the hallmark of Satan, the Leviathan in Job. That thing is there. Let God bless you a bit. Or let something happen. Let we just praise you. Uzziah! When he became strong, that lifted up. Or God had made him strong. Uzziah is another type. So how do you deal with pride? It's basically everything I'm saying. I'm just mentioning points. But see, it's going to come back to the Lord, the Word, and the Spirit. Open the seven blessed of wisdom. That's how I'm going to pull that mountain down. It's a stronghold. And how are you going to deal with it? You're going to live by walking daily in the fear of the Lord. Honesty and humility. You choose the fear of God every morning, which is honesty and honesty and humility. That is what you are going to use to knock off pride. In Philippians 2, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 verse 3, amplified. He said, who though he was in the form of God, he thought not to be equal with God, but he humbled himself. Each time a temptation came, some just tries to grasp, he will humble himself. So he started from the top. When they had a meeting in heaven, I said, he was going to go and die for them. He said, I will go. He humbled himself. Then when he came to the earth and took the form of a servant, and he said, what will happen again? He humbled himself to the obedience of death on the cross. Then after the cross, he humbled himself and went to the lowest place. And then because of that, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above everything. So you see, the way only we are going to deal with pride, when you see that thing come against you, just humble yourself. If we enter a place and the pastor gives an example and they say, "Ah, sorry, this place is not for you. Please sit down here. You know what you got to go? Just go the extra mile. Go and sit down there at the back. Take two more steps." So you see, you are dealing with that. You see, you need to deal with that. Go into opposition. That's how you act. That's how you act. Go the extra mile in humility. So you see, you've knocked him a blow. So he's trying to puff you up. If thou be the Son of God, do this. We don't understand. I'm going to get it the way of humility. So the next point I want to talk about, let's talk about the crooked places. Crooked. Speak about a lack of revelation knowledge. It's crooked. Are you following me? And how do you get rid of that? It's very simple. But just bring it to remember what Pastor has taught us. It's by praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge. That this principle of perfection is not going to be something that you don't understand. It's not clear. We start praying, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Say, "Pray the Lord, Father, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of understanding will flood every life. I remember that the hope of your calling upon our life, the riches of glory of his inheritance, and exceeding greatness of the resurrection power in Christ, what I believe, according to the work in my path, which wrought in Christ. You pray that prayer every day. You see why? Why? Because you are going to Zion on that highway. I want to say, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect, or till you get to Zion by revelation. Until you enter that stronghold of Zion, no. Even after, you have to maintain it. We're going to see some guys at the end of the message. They left Jerusalem and went back, and they lost the light. But God had mercy on them. That is why this message is very important. We are to tarry in Jerusalem until. That is what I believe God wants us to say. Until. Don't say we'll be praying until every Sunday, until we'll tarry. But I say, don't you tarry, wait for it. Wait. It shall surely come. Praise the Lord. So we pray for Ephesians to deal with the crooked places in our minds. Then the last, the rough places. The pastor said on Sunday, the way is there, but it's not smooth. So there are bumps on the way. Bumps that you stumble, you know. These bumps, like I said, I saw another said that. See, we make smooth the rough places of unbelief by acting in faith on the distilled instruction of fathers. These bumps are bumps of unbelief that bring doubt. You act on the instruction of the how. You see, it is not smooth. What is not smooth? When you take that love book, there are distilled instructions. Exactly like a doctor comes and says, if you have malaria, take 4 tablets of Quartem. I think it's other 4, and I take 4. It's distilled. It depends if I'm going to go and pick 8 hours. Specific. If you obey that instruction, you will be healed, sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. But if you leave those instructions given to you by that person, and now say, no, our grandfather should take dongoyaro, then go and boil dongoyaro. That is supposed to. Yes. If you manage to survive. Yes, it's true. The emphasis is that. Oh, let me put a scripture behind it. We'll start talking. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Said, the instruction is your life. You see, we find it very easy to obey instructions in natural. If we say, take this 2 times a day, and the next time will be 12 midnight, you set your alarm to eat. So when it rings, you click take it. I'm going to take it because you don't want to die of that sickness. But it's a spiritual sickness of the sin nature in the soul and the body. So it says that when you pray 4 times at every opportunity, at least 4 times every 6 hours, how come we don't at every opportunity, at every temptation? Why don't you obey that? The same way you quickly grabs your medicine and you say, "Oh, remind me," they say, "I must take it by 12 p.m. So I must wake up." Yes. However, it says that you obey, so it says, put it in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Hear you children, the instruction of a father," not an instructor. It says, why? Because fathers give instructions distilled. I'm not saying because pastor is here. One of the things that I marvel, the how of the how. You know, when you look at the thing, you read it, and then you understand. that the only problem is to deal with your slothfulness to obey. It's not a question of you don't understand. It says that here you said this, so, and attend to no understanding. Verse 13. You must attend to it. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Don't let it go. I give you the example of again medical or something. The doctors here, they give you antibiotics. They say, if you don't finish the dose, the thing will not go. It will come back again. Stronger! Yes, sir. Satan leaves us for a season. It's going to come back. So you must make sure you finish that dose every day. That's a dose of prayer every morning. Just like you take that drug and it enters your tummy, then it goes through your bloodstream and begins to do a cure and a healing. So when you begin to take that love confession, you are putting the life of God in your flesh, that the life of Christ might be manifest in your mortal flesh. So we say take it four times a day at every opportunity, in every temptation. Make sure you do it, for she is thy life. So as we begin to round up, it says that we all start out on the way. Go back to Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3. Pastor mentioned that weekly remnant, so it's not something I'm saying. I'm just echoing what he said. I was like, you can go back. When I picked him, I said, I'd even forgotten the distinction between the way and the highway. Say, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, be ye the way, say way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway. God does not waste words. Why would you say way and then say highway? Isaiah 35. He says that, you know, he said the highway. He said, you see, like I said, open Isaiah 35. A scripture just comes to my mind. Verse 10. I said that way that is being prepared, or the highway, is to take us to Zion. What does he say? He says that, and the ransom of the Lord shall what? Return. That means we have left it before. So we are taking that highway back to Zion. And they come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy and upon their heads, and shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. If you don't return, sorrow and sighing will not flee away. Bible says, let us return unto the Lord. After he will heal us. So after 2 days, he will raise us up. My mind went to auto search. Anyway, let's get back to what we are saying. So we all start on the way. Verse 8, 35, verse 8. Let's see. Thank you, sir. 38 says, and the highway and highway shall be there, and a way. Say highway and way. Highway and way, and shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not hurt therein. What is that telling us? You see, when we all start on the way, we are fools. Fool just means that somebody that don't have revelation knowledge. We will see now Jesus Christ to say, oh fools, slow of how to believe. Paul said, when talking to Corinthians, he said, thou fool, that we thou so will not, we will first of all die because. So it's not an abuse to call somebody a fool. It just means somebody that whose mind has not been enlightened, revelation of Christ. And the antidote, if you are a fool, if I'm a fool, is to follow the king in the highway. There's a place in the Bible talking about the king's highway. Those that are going there, so follow, because you cannot see. So he says that the way and the highway, what's even the way and the highway? The way is when you start praying these love confessions without revelation knowledge. Just say, I'm obeying the instruction of my father. They said, if I do this, I will manifest glory. Inherit the borderline. You just start doing the outer court. Use the blood, the word, and the spirit. And you are praying. And you are praying. And you are praying. As you continue that, initially when you start praying, your motivation may not be right, because it's that faith worketh by love. So I must do this love thing so my faith can work today, so I can use to meet my needs. We don't say it, but you want your faith to work that day. But after some time, you begin to work in that way. I follow him and begin to purify your motive. But the blessed are the pure in heart, for you shall see God. So as you begin to walk in that way, you translate from walking that way to the highway. When I begin to have revelation knowledge, now begin to see God face to face. 1 Corinthians 13, you're no longer seeing darkly. So when I was a child, I thought I was a child. When I put childish in, when that which is perfect is come, love is the bond of perfectness. Are you following me? So you translate from the way to the highway. It now becomes a way that is raised up in your life. You are not being like Jesus Christ said. He was moved with compassion. He was on the highway. His motivations were pure. So what are we saying? We transit from the way to the highway. From the outer court to the holy place. Which seems as a place of revelation knowledge. You start having revelation knowledge. And then from there you move into Zion. Let's just put some scripture behind this because of time. John chapter 14 verses 21 to 23. I've mentioned, blessed are the pure in heart, which shall see God. John 14, 21, 23. Are we there? It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will what manifest myself to him. Verse 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, as the sham God ministry, Lord, how is that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Next verse. You know, says Jesus answers them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. I will come unto him and make abode with him. So that's how we move to the highway. Now, we confess every Sunday here. This is where the message is very important, that God wants to encourage us. The Bible says, provoke one another unto love. We confess every Sunday. Say that we tarry in Jerusalem, the place of revelation, of perfection, until we manifest the power of a spirit without measure from on high. This is where God goes. Says, don't you tarry, wait for it in that place of revelation. It will surely come to pass. We look at the story, book of Luke, chapter 24. Of two guys, they were disciples. They are told that to go and wait in Jerusalem. But because they did not see anything, they decided to leave Jerusalem and go to Emmaus. Luke chapter 24, as we bring it to close, verse 13. I'll just read some scriptures. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Remember Pastor Brian's message in that day that Elijah was to be taken away. It's not the day to leave Jerusalem and to go to Emmaus. What are we saying? We are in that day. There's no way I can overemphasize. We are in that day. Any minute from now, it can. I don't say a word. I'm telling you a fact, because the way it's coming out now, it's not putting it into next year. He's saying it's like, as far as God is concerned, it's done. It's just that it's not willing that. And he wants, that's all the other is keeping quiet. He just wants many people to come. So he says that, called Emmaus. I want to check Emmaus. Emmaus means obscure. Go and check it. Dark, not clear. Go and check. Emmaus means obscure. Yeah. So left Jerusalem, this place of revelation, disciples, where they're supposed to tarry, and they began to walk towards Emmaus. Next verse. And they talked together of these things which had happened. It started getting dark. Obviously, the path of just a shine light that shines bright and bright on the perfect day. When they walked to that perfect day, they started getting. Things were getting dark. They didn't understand again. They, instead of walking that way of love, they're walking back. That genie of Israel. He said, make us gods and take us back. It's a future exercise. Next verse. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That is the mercy of God. Amen. He did not leave them. He went after that sheep. The good shepherd. Are you following me? Next verse. I want to rush to because of time. Next verse. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. They had lost that spirit of wisdom and revelation because they left Jerusalem and they began to walk back on the wrong, obscure way. Whoa. There is a place, peace, beauty back there. I don't know where it is in that same scripture. He said, Jerusalem is 64 lungs from Emmaus. He said, 3 score. Put it on the board. Let me keep reading. If you find, just read it. I just want to mention. Okay, let's say, and behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 score furlongs. You have Jerusalem is 60 here. You have Emmaus 30. No, you have 30, 60, 100. So they started walking back 60 furlongs. You see, that's what he's speaking about. Outer court, holy place, most holy place is down. Down inside Jerusalem. So they left that place and they began to walk back towards 30-fold. 30-fold ministry, obscurity. Outer court. where they can only see with natural light, in the tabernacle of Moses. 60. And you know one thing I found out again when I was studying, I want to check the name Cleopas. Go and check it. It means the whole glory. He mentions their name. Says, and one of them whose name was Cleopas. That's what his destiny is, to inherit the whole glory. Go and check Cleopas. He means the whole glory. So that was his destiny. All he had to do is just tarry and wait there. But he took another disciple with him. Remember Peter? He said, we go out fishing. Don't follow anybody to go and fish you. So he took another disciple, Cleopas, whose destiny was to inherit the glory. And they started walking towards Emmaus, a village of obscurity. So they lost their sight. But being that our love, our God, the Bible says, is a merciful and faith, is very compassionate. He joined them in the way. It just because he didn't want us, he's not willing that any should perish. God does not want any of us to miss this. By the grace of God, we are not going to be part of that 500 that left. We are going to be part of that 120 that stayed. And tarry. What we say in next verse, let's see verse 16 because of time. Okay, it says, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another, Cleopas? Don't you know your destiny? The whole glory. What is he talking about? You can't you see again? As you walk and you are sad. They lost their understanding. Next verse. What does this say? And one of them whose name was Cleopas, we read that. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus Christ, which was a prophet, a mighty in the world. And before, in that time, they were expecting resurrection. Now we are expecting resurrection life to manifest in our mortal flesh, the glory of God. I'm following. Let's just go to verse, because of time, 25. See, then he said unto them, oh, what? Fools. Cleopas and your friend, fools. Why are they fools? Because they were now slow of heart to believe. Or what? The prophets have spoken. That means they believed before. But instead of walking, they could not believe again. They will look at their bodies. I'm already going to be 50 something. But the Bible says, Abraham conceived, he staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So don't consider the physical circumstances. Verse 30, as we get to round up, help me to stop, Holy Spirit. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. That is the mercy of God operation. He fed them again. It's not only about communion. 31. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Now what was their response? And what is their response? Peradventure in our hearts we have departed from Jerusalem. Verse 33. And they rose up. What? The same hour. And returned to where? Jerusalem. And found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So we are to return, taking the highway to Zion. What did they say? Yes. Next verse says, did the heart burn? Saying, Lord is risen indeed. And people said, did the heart burn when he spoke unto us in the way? Somewhere there. He said, why is it? And he said to him, did not a heart burn within us? Why he talked with us in the way? The same way that leads to Zion can lead back to Emmaus. We told the direction you are going. But the reason for the highway, you take it from the wilderness to the promised land. So we must not go back. To go back is like what the Israelites did. He said, make us gods of covetousness and let us go back to Egypt. But we are not going to go back. And peradventure in our hearts, we have somehow doubted that this thing will happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to us today and is giving us bread. He has broken it once again. As we eat that bread now, our eyes should be opened and our consecration should be to go back immediately to Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Ho! I didn't hear it. Ho!
Glory to God.
Woo!
Preparing the way. Well, somehow God is having mercy on us. And he keeps bringing these messages. Hallelujah. That was a wonderful message. And I just want us to You know, God is not stupid. He's a God who teaches to prophets, so he's a God of prophets. When God begins to bring, it's because he wants you to do something with it. And he wants you to profit your life. Not just to get excited. Getting excited is okay. You know, that's inspiration. But inspiration must translate to action for it to profit us. Amen. Pastor Dure didn't know. You know, I just, because I was in Lagos, I just got back. You know, so I said, oh, prepare something against this evening. And I had something in my heart, and it's exactly the same message. And he didn't know. It's exactly, so I don't have to preach it again. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, and it's this question of preparing the way of our hearts. You know, we started it on Sunday, and I wanted to amplify it. But God has used Pastor Dewey to do that. So what we need to do now is just to move forward on that. I would like to amplify one or two things that he said. There are four things that are spoken about in Isaiah 40. In that scripture about, you know, preparing the way of the Lord. There were valleys. Ever say valleys? There were mountains and hills. There were crooked places. And there were rough places. Each of them means something. And Pastor Jerry has, the Lord has used him to speak to us about some of the things. But there are one or two of them I want to expatiate upon. And this beautiful typology that God has used him to bring up about the road to Emmaus. Now that's beautiful. Let's give the Lord a clap offering for that. Wow. I'm hearing it for the first time too. I never knew Emmaus meant, you know, place of obscure. I didn't know that, you know. And that's a wonderful illustration. It's a highway. But you can either be going like this or going like that. Where are you headed? Jerusalem? Or Emmaus? But it's the same road. And you know, what before I finish saying what I'm saying, this truth about the road, this road to Emmaus, you know, is very applicable to many of us. Especially some of us are in scripture pasture. That's why you should be careful about your company. You don't start making friends with Cleopas. I'm afraid. You know, the Bible says that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But the companion of fools, the people on the road to Emmaus, say you'll be destroyed. Destroyed there doesn't mean he won't go to heaven. It just means that destruction of the flesh, and he will suffer loss. Yeah, be careful. You know, you can't start listening to Cleopas. And they start telling you, oh my pastor, look here, they've been saying those things for 20 years. Those things, you know, that's it. As if the Bible knew. He says, they will say, scoffers will arise. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For all things remain. And then the scripture answers them back and says, this they willingly are ignorant of. Their ignorance is a consequence of their will. Because they don't want to do the will of God. They don't want to groan. They don't want to use like scripture. They don't want to do all those things. So because the will is not there, then they become ignorant, because the will now acts as a trap door that shuts out the light. So they start going to Emmaus. And they will take anybody who will listen. Anybody who will be there. Oh yeah, let's go to Emmaus. Let's go to Emmaus, the place of obscurity. But thank God for the mercy of God. And Jesus himself drew near. Then he heard their reasonings. You know, they were reasoning. You know how they were reasoning? They were reasoning self-pity. And there was this prophet from Nazareth. And we thought that he was the one that would deliver us. But the chief priest delivered him. And the Gentiles have killed him. And we don't know what's going to happen, you know. And this is the third day these things have happened, you know. You need to understand something about these two guys, They were disciples. They were not a part of the multitude. They were multitude people. These guys were the inner circle. You know how I know? They knew what Mary Magdalene said that day. They said even some of our women had gone to the... He said they had gone to the grave and they found it empty. But him, they did not see. So they were... Actually, that day, they were in Jerusalem. Because all that didn't happen in Emmaus, it happened in Jerusalem. These were guys in the inner circle. They were part of the 12 and 70. These were not people who are far away. They were part, yes, because they said in our company, they said some of our women, this was not to outsiders. These were people who were, you know, by that time, the number of disciples had reduced. Everybody was afraid. Everybody had run away. But these were the guys who were in the inner circle. It's a warning to us. That's why the Holy Spirit is bringing it. Because practically every single one of us fits that description. You're not the outsider. You're someone who's hearing all these seven steps of wisdom, you became perfection. You're an outsider. But what we expect hasn't yet happened. That's where we are now. What we expect hasn't yet. We haven't yet seen the glory. We haven't yet seen the manifestation. And if you're not careful, a Cleopas will tell you, you better make a plan B. As for this Moses, oh my, pastor, all this fine preaching. Okay, you know what? We're still on the road. Eh? We still believe in profession. We still believe in prayer. But let's move it towards the other direction to Emmaus. Let's move it to the outer court. At least these ones are things we can see. It's solid. You know? These are at least, let's stay with the prosperity. Let's stay with the ones, you know, the one that we can see, feel the result. All these ones that they are talking about, the glory, the ability of the mind of Christ. It's a great, that's why God brought it. And another thing, Pastor Dio hit it, and I want to amplify it, is that it was happening that their temptation that made them leave Jerusalem that morning was happening just at the time the glory had actually come. Yes, sir. It was already happening, only that they were in the wrong place. Yay! They were moving towards Emmaus, but they had left Jerusalem, but Jesus had already risen. So they didn't see it. And they were in the wrong place. Watch this. By the time they were on the road to Emmaus, and they were going to Emmaus, Mary Magdalene had already seen Jesus.
Yes, sir.
But just they just hadn't heard. They were still at Emmaus when Jesus, you know, Jesus now had a glorified body, so he could move within space and time. While they were still on the road to Emmaus, or they had gotten, you know, they were on the road to Emmaus, Jesus had not only appeared to Mary Magdalene, he also appeared to 11. But they didn't know, because they were in the wrong place. So, because God had mercy on them. And you see, they were part of the inners. These are people who had accompanied with us. All these years. God is going to have mercy on you. He's not going to let you miss out after you have suffered all these years. You know, and you stayed until the very last minute. So, to have mercy on them, Jesus, in because of his glorified body, after he appeared to Mary, he appeared to the 11 and disappeared. Then, whew, let's go and get those two boys. Authority. And so he starts walking with them, and then he makes them talk. Or rather, they're talking. And then, you know, they're talking about all their problem and how it's important not to put your eyes on the wrong thing. There was nothing they were saying that was not true. That was not physically true. But there were other greater things that have happened that had gone beyond what they were talking about. So he reasoned with them. Then he began to open the scriptures to them. And started, I like that scripture. It's starting from Moses. This book is a great book called the Bible. Starting from Moses, he told them all things that he should fulfill, you know. And yet they didn't know who he was. Obscurity is not good. God will be talking to you and you won't even know it's God. He says, and their eyes were hid. It was hid from them. Now, I want, this is just a slide something, but I want you to understand something. It wasn't God who hid it all. You know, when you read those scriptures, if you're not careful, give it to me, you would think that maybe it was God that hid it. The Bible tells us that if our gospel be hid, it is not hidden. He said it is the God of this world that had blinded the minds. If God was trying to hide it, why would he be opening the scriptures to them? You know, when you read it, he said, but their eyes were holden that they should know. Who was holding their eyes? Not God, Satan. Because they were out of the way. God was the one who was trying to open their eyes. Tell your neighbor, say, God is never your problem. He's on your side. God is not hiding anything from you. It's the devil who is hiding things from you because of your attitude. It was their attitude that got them this problem anyway. You know, I've often wondered about this, and I've, over the years, I've tried not to be judgmental. And I'm still practicing that. You know, when I look at some things the disciples did, I said, oh, how can they do it? But then I'm very careful now. I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. And I say, God, you know, it's easy to talk with 2,000 years of hindsight. You know, and you have a whole, there was no Luke 24 at the time that all that was happening. You know, so I'm careful not to be too judgmental upon them, you know. But when I look at people like this, and I also look at people like John, then I see that this thing is a question of the human will. They were not the only people who saw that. Watch this. Friday, Jesus is crucified. He's crucified around 9 o'clock, 12 noon. He dies about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The whole place goes dark. He's there Friday evening, Friday night, Saturday morning, afternoon and night. Sunday morning, 12 midnight, he's still in hell. That's why it's 3 days and 3 nights. 12, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Somewhere, we don't know the exact day and hour, but somewhere in that fourth watch was when he was raised. Because we know that by the time he comes out of the tomb, the day was, it was dark but early. But I'm saying all of that to say this. Friday afternoon, after all that drama with the, you know, Friday morning, all the drama with Pilate and everything, you know, and Pilate finally washes his hand, say, go and kill him. They carry him, you know, he goes all the way, you know, to this place called Calvary. They nail him to the cross. Majority, watch this, what I'm about to say now is very, very important, so that when the equivalent is happening in our own time, we will know which side our bread is buttered on and where to stay. That afternoon, as he was being led to Calvary, what our Catholic brethren call the stations of the cross, majority of the brethren had run away. They were afraid. They were afraid that they would ask, they would say, aren't you one of those kind of people? Everybody was scared that they may come and arrest me too. So they all, you know what they did? Most of them, not all of them, that's the point I want to bring out here. Most of them, because of the fear for their lives. And this is why this question of not loving your life unto the death is critical, you know, in walking with God. Most of them were afraid that they would be arrested. So they went to go and hide. They had a room. I don't know where it was. They were at a place. So don't just go near there. But there were some people who didn't hide. One of them, his name was John. John followed Peter too, but not as he's not described with the same clarity, you know, as John. John is spectacular. He shines like a light in the midst of all this darkness. John follows him to the cross. He didn't care whether they were going to arrest him or not. He stood there. You know, when they were taking him, you know, there was this black man from Libya, Simon the Cyrene. You know, nothing has changed. Soldiers are the same as they were then, so they are now. You know, they got that guy to carry the cross because Jesus was so weak. In fact, if they hadn't got him, maybe Jesus wouldn't have fainted before I even got to Calvary. So anyway, you know, and then there were these women who were crying, and everybody was, and Jesus turned back and said, "Don't cry for me, we'll cry for your children," and all of that. So you see, there was still a sizable number of people, but the people who their hearts were knit to the Lord, John, his mom, Mary. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, the Bible names them deliberately. Peter's name isn't there. Of course, Thomas' name is not there. Yabati Bear. And certainly, Cleopas' name wasn't there. He was already on the road to Emmaus. I don't know if he left for. I don't think he left for Emmaus on Friday. I think he left for Emmaus. The Sunday morning. Talk bongo. But preaching. Yeah. Well, Sunday morning. Where he didn't hear anything. Hey boys. You know. But this is very important. Yeah, all the crowd. You know. But it wasn't everybody. There were some who were loyal to the end. And they just stayed. They said, you know, the soldiers were there beating and whipping. And, you know, so Roman soldiers, they're just like Nigerian soldiers. I mean, soldiers all over the world, you know. They've been given an instruction by the Oga. Oga is not there anymore. Pilate is not here. And Isola, the officers are not here. It's just this raw recruit. We beating everybody, shouting. You need to go and watch that film again, The Passion. You will get a clear picture of what happened that day. Are you listening to me? But Mary followed. Mary Magdalene followed. John followed. We don't even have a record that James did. We don't have a record that Peter did. They were all afraid. We know Peter was afraid, because that's why he denied him in the first place. He was afraid for what's going to happen to him. You know, we need, that's a lesson we must all learn. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to throw it in the air. What is the worst thing that can happen to you? You will die, Abby. You will not die in Jesus' name. You know what I'm talking about. But don't be afraid. Greet your, because so long as you have that thing, Satan will always have something he can work with. That doesn't say you should be careless and throw your life away. But you know, you need to get to the point where, you know, what is your life anyway? At the end of the day, folks, we're all going to die. One way or the other. Come on, these are just base facts. You know, I took time to reason this thing out. You have to think it through. You're going to die anyway. So if you die, why don't you die gloriously? Might as well make the best of it rather than die like a rat. Am I talking to anybody? You know? So things like, look, that the disciples, these same 12 guys, you know, they, when he went to raise Lazarus, they said, you must be mad, though. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, they wanted to kill you last week, and you want to go. The Bible says he walked no longer in jury because they wanted to kill him. So he now says, let's go. I said, Then they said, anyway, let's die with him. That's the correct spirit.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I got to trust this guy enough to know that if he's going in that direction, God must have spoken to him and God will help him. And you got to get to that level. So Mary Magdalene, John, Mary his mother, some of the other women, you know, they followed. And guess what? No Roman soldier laid hands on any of them. The thing you are fearing is the devil. All the thing they were all afraid of. You, did anything happen to John? Did any soldier arrest him? Did anybody kill him? No. But he could write what the others could not write. That's why the Gospel of John is not one of the synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke are called the synoptic because they're similar. But John's different. Because there were certain things John recorded that the others were not recorded. You know why? They weren't there. John was at the cross. And he saw what happened. And when they nailed Jesus, and Jesus was suffering, John didn't move. He stood right there and watched unto the end. And his mother, Mary, the Holy Mother, thank God for Holy Mother. Don't let's get into that. That's another message for another day. Thank God for our wonderful Catholic brethren. Amen. Holy Mother was there with Mary Magdalene. It was while Jesus was dying. There was nobody else around that he could hand his mummy to. Only the faithful one that stayed till the end. He said, behold your son. He said, mommy, he told his mommy, behold your son. Told John, behold your mother. If he was not there, he couldn't have gotten that instruction. You don't find that in any of the other Gospels. Another thing, after Jesus died, he was from 12 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Bible says there was darkness over the face in that particular region. I don't think it was universal. You know, it was just a God symbolizing with the physical elements, what was happening inside Jesus' spirit. Jesus' spirit was light. It had become darkness as the blood went out and the Zoe went out. So that's why the whole creep, the whole thing was dark. It wasn't forever. It was just for those 3 hours. You know, by 4 o'clock, light had come back. Between 12 and 3, Jesus was dying on the cross, you know. So at 3 o'clock, Jesus shouts, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. That means his spirit left his body. And he says, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he went straight to hell. Make no mistake about it, it was hell. Now, the physical body of Jesus was limp on the cross. Normally, when you crucify in those days, when they crucify people, it usually takes like 12, 18 hours because it's the Romans are terrible. It was one of the most agonizing and shameful deaths a man can die. So normally, what they do is that the centurion, there's a centurion who's in charge of the soldiers, who was there, when Jesus even cried, he said, this man must have been the Son of God. Because he saw the strength. Normally, by the time they crucify, you can't even talk. You just die quietly. The thing is horrible. Horrible. So he said, this man must have been the Son of God. But he had a job. Soldiers will always, he's a professional soldier. He had been given an instruction by the governor to make sure that this guy dies. So what they do normally is that they come and check the bodies after some hours to see what condition they are in. Because they don't die, usually most of them don't die that quickly. Jesus died very quickly, within 3 hours. Many times they die after 8 hours, 10 hours, sometimes 18, sometimes even 24. So that it will be sure that they die, the soldiers are given instructions. They inspect each body on the cross, each person that has been crucified. They come and check him and find out, is he still alive? If they detect any sign of life, they break his legs, so that there is no possibility of anybody coming to take him down. Are you able to come down from the cross? So when he checked the other two guys, you know, Jesus was in the middle. There were three of them that day. When he checked the other two, this one, the one on this side, was not really dead. He broke his legs. The one on this other side was also not properly dead. It's easy to laugh in this air-conditioned room. Come on, easy. They broke his leg. Then he comes to Jesus. He checks. This one is dead, though. No sign of life. So he says, there's no need to break his leg. He's that it might be fulfilled. Oh, give the Lord a clap of. See this Bible, eh? This Bible, he said, not one of his bones was broken. God used Jesus' quick death to make sure that the scripture was fulfilled. He said, not his nose bones. So he said he didn't break his legs. But to be double sure, a professional Roman soldier who is fought in Alexandria, is fought all over. These guys are hardened professional soldiers. Just to be sure, he takes his spear. Then he puts it under the rib here, where the heart is, just to make sure, and pierces his heart. When he pierces his heart, water and blood come out, so he knows he's dead. John was there to see it. Only John records it. He said, and he pierced his heart, and out came blood and water. He said, and I bear record. Give the Lord a clap offering. And his record is true. Knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. Folks, Jesus didn't faint too. He died. The record is there. But I said all of that to say this. If he had been on the road to Emmaus, he wouldn't have been able to record this. Peter didn't record this. You know, Jesus had three people in his inner circle. Peter, James, and John. Andrew didn't record this. Philip didn't record this. Bartholomew didn't record this. Only John. And you know why? He was not afraid for his life. He followed Jesus to the limit he could follow. Short of being crucified himself, and I want to leave this lesson with us. Pastor Joey has hit it, and God has helped me to expand it to you. Be faithful to the end. Pastor Yue said, he said, don't be moved by what you see in the physical. Something may not be, may not be seen anything happening, but don't go back to Emmaus. Stay to the end. John, he followed him on that road. He followed, you know Peter went to Ananias' house in the middle of the night, and Caiaphas' house, he entered, then he denied Christ, then he ran away. You know, I went to cry. Thank you, Pastor Bigger. You know, but the drama did not end. You know, this is about 12. They must have picked him about 11 o'clock at night. Between 11 and 12. They take him to Caiaphas' house, have this kangaroo court. Have you ever heard of any court? Even Nigeria, as bad as we are, there is no court that holds at 12 midnight. At 12, you know, like kangaroo court. Or they were, all that was done between midnight and about 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. As it started becoming dawn, they said, yeah, we can't kill him. So let's take him to, you know, take him to Pilate. They must have gotten there maybe about 7, 8. You know, they come, Pilate says, look, I don't find anything wrong with this person. They say, oh, he's a Galilean. Okay, send him to Herod. Herod sends him back. You know, the drama continues for the next, between 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, or 11. You know, it's about 8, 9 o'clock. All that time, John was following. All that time, John was following. They got him from Pilate's place where they took him, and Pilate said, I don't find anything wrong with him. Went to Herod's palace, came back, you know, went, you know, they came back, called for witnesses and all that. John stood there, was watching everything. That's why I could record it with such detail. He was recording it, he saw everything. He went everywhere he went, he followed him. We need to follow like that unto death. Doesn't mean you should go and die. Don't misunderstand me. What it means is that be faithful to the end. Most Christians are faithful, and when it looks the end hasn't yet come, but when you look at it, there is no more, there's nothing else to do. Let's just leave this thing. Let's go back to Emmaus. Like Demas, who has forsaken me and loved this present world. You know. The other thing I'll just say is in James chapter 1, I got to close. James chapter 1, this question of, you know, the valley and the high places. The valley refers to self-esteem. Pastor Dre talked about that, and use the blood to maintain your right standing with God. Then the hills represent pride and arrogance, and you overcome those by submitting your will to the will of God, which is humility. Even when you don't feel like it. But the book of James, I've taught from this before. You know, verses chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 aptly describes this thing. He says, let the brother of low degree. He's talking about people who are poor before they become Christians, or social outcasts, or people don't reckon with. You see, when you become a Christian, God exalts you. Amen. That's that valley being filled. Now, look at the next verse. But the rich that is made low. So for one guy, God fills the valley. For the other guy, he brings down the mountain. That, you see, when rich people get born again, they need those hills leveled. Thank you, Pastor G. That's why many of them don't come. That's why Jesus said it is difficult. He didn't say impossible. It's for a rich man. Because let me give an example from my personal life and this church to the glory of God. When I became a Christian, I was at the prime of my youth. I was 19, 20. I graduated at 19. I did my youth call when I was 20. To the glory of God, I had a first class. I was taking one of the best universities in the world. I was taking Imperial College. You know, I was actually even taking in MIT. God just didn't want me to go, you know, because I had my cousin who was in Brooklyn, Boston, you know, and say, they put your name on the thing. Let them send the no, my there was just one referee. Professor Madwe is here. One referee. Every other thing, my transcript, everything was there. He said they're waiting for, he said, tell them to send it. That time I was in Calabar, you know, I was in Ecom doing youth call. So, you know, it was not like today. There's no mobile phone. There's nothing, you know. So, but I was able to come and first of all, I sent it. First of all, he said, I sent it. He said, I've already sent it. He said, I'll send another one. You know, it's never got to Boston. Some angel. God didn't want me. I would probably have died or... You know, just my life would have just gone in another direction. God wanted me to go to London because God had already put a church and a pastor next to the hostel I was going to be. It wasn't until I got born again that all this is there. But don't let me go on a long story. I was, you know, very successful in the world, you know, and all of that. And of course, I was proud. Now, if you told me that I was proud, I wouldn't ask, I wouldn't believe you, because I was a nice guy. Honestly, trust me, I was a very nice guy. You know, but you know, coming from that kind of background and having all of these things. So when I first got born again, the first thing God was to lure me. I can tell you from Pastor, the rich is that he's made. Can you imagine? I didn't have to leave London, no. I didn't have to. My professors called me and said, look, you didn't do well in this course and this course. You're preaching. They told me to my face. He said, we know you are very good. And you can do better than this. So won't you spend an extra year? And in the meantime, you get a job with British Telecom and you're able to work and you'll be in school. You know, and I was offered everything. I didn't tell my dad. I didn't tell my parents. I went to pray, and God said, "I'm caught." At that time, I had been to America. Kenneth Hagin came back. I had written this thing on Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. It was clear what God wanted me to do. And he said, "If you mix this to you, you will not have enough time to study and know my word the way I want you to want it, you know." So that's how I made up my mind. And so I just went to them and said, no, I don't want it, even though they had offered me, you know. And so it was after I had closed the door, I now told my dad. You know, he was very angry, my parent, very angry at first. Later on, I explained to my dad, he said, well, I know you're a good boy, and if you say so, okay, if you want to do it properly, if you want to go to our robot school, if you want to go, you know, I tried to go to America. God just locked all those doors. So I had to come back to Nigeria. To cut a long story short, I had to go back to Cross River State, where I did my youth call. They posted me to another school in Ogoja. I was there for about 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and God said, no, it's Ibadan. Then I came back to come and work with Brother Emiko. We're living in one house in Agbo. Talk about being made low. From London to Agbo. You know? From Imperial College. And I used to live a very, you know, to go into Agbo market to go and buy pepper and grind it. And I'll tell you the truth. The house me and Brother Emiko were in, that's how I met Fred Adigoke. That's how I became friends with all these guys that are now my friends. You know, Brother Fred, Friday Becky, you know, David Oyedepo, so many of us. Like, that's how I got to know, you know, all these guys. Because I used to be the person who used to sell all the tapes, all the Kenneth Hagin tapes, Kenneth Copeland tapes, and the books. So that's how I got to know so many of the pastors, you know. We didn't have any furniture in our house. Initially, we used to sit on Jerry Can. Jerry Can was our chair. We know, me and Brother Miko went to go and buy, went to Leventis. That time it was still Leventis, you know, to buy this wicker work. It was plastic, you know, that we used. So when we cook the food, we just put it on that. There was nothing in the house, it was empty.
because we just started. There was nothing.
I mean, over the months, God helped us, and we started, you know, Miko and I slept on the same bed. But there were not two beds. There was only one. You know, and when I wanted to pray or fast or pray, Miko was, he had his office, you know. I would have to maybe take a mat with the lamp on and go to another room to go and talk about being made low. The rich will be made low. I'm going to buy amen. Amen. But the poor will be exalted. Okay. So I can identify 100% with this scripture. And it was not like that for 2 weeks. It was like that for years. The first 3-4 years were like that. After I left Brother Miko and God said I should go and get a job, for the first 9 months, I didn't get a job. Even with the first class in physics, yes. To get a teaching job in, you know, in Oyo State. I was looking for a secondary school where I could go and teach. You know, finally, you know, I would pray. I have all the bind the devil. You know, finally, Chief Oshukunle is still alive. He used to be the chairman of TIB. He was then the permanent secretary, Ministry of Education. I can never forget it. One day I didn't know him. I didn't know him from Adam. I just prayed. You know, I put in my application and everything. They said, sit down. So I sat down. Oh, guy is coming. I don't know how many hours I sat down. Maybe about 2-3. Finally, the man said I should enter his office. Then he looked at me. He heard me say, what's a brilliant young man like you doing here? So I didn't tell him about God. I just said, I'm just looking for a job where I can teach and all of that. He said, there's a school in my village. In Kutai. It's on the way to Igbo-Elerin. He said, they need a good physics teacher. You will go there. That's how I got the job. This place I'm talking about, when you pass, you are going to Iwo Road. You know, I'm not talking about this Iwo Road. I'm talking about the, you know where there was a factory there, Leyland. Hmm. Okay. So you will leave. There is only certain downfalls that they leave in the morning. Once you miss the 6:31, there's no way I can be in school for 8. So I must get to, they used to call it Ile Akinloye. Akinloye's house, you know, I've forgotten the, or job, well, you know. People have to tell me, OJ, thank you, that you go from this place to this place. Then you go, you get to place called Ile Akinloye. They say the bus stop opposite the place. He said that's where you will catch the to make you understand better, all these things happened after Satan had tried to kill me and my car had been destroyed. So I didn't have a car. Talk about being made low. I didn't have a car. I used to, but I didn't have one. Just for that, my father gave me an Igala later, but it wasn't immediate. So I during that time, the first few weeks of going to the place, I had to go with the public transport. So I would get up at 4:00 in the morning, do live scriptures. I learned that later, you know. Praying dogs, you know. Then quickly have my bath. Then quickly get out. Once I get out from that house in the house we started scripture pastor in Ojuri, it was by that time we had moved from Ojuri from Agogo to, you know, because I wasn't with Brother Miko anymore, you know. So I was in Ojuri. I'll get up very early in the morning. I can never forget it. Those imams used to help me. You know, I would get up.
before they get up, and I start praying. When I start praying, they'll say, Asalatu. I say, Holy Ghost, how can I pray for this kind of a dean? Not once, not twice, not three times. I will say, God, is this what you call me? I was jejeli in London. Hey, God. God. Hey, is this what you now? This is your calling, Sha. Okay. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You know, I will get up, go across the railway track, then pick one. This combi buses, call it down for, you know, that now will take me to that Ile Akinloye. And from that one, I will pick the one that's going to Igboilerin. Then get there, you know, so by the time it's about 7:30, 7:45, I'm in the school. I do that consistently. And while I was doing that, inside that Danfo bus, Ibadan people are terribly promiscuous. All kinds of rubbish. You'll be hearing the people they'll be talking, you know, and one mama so whoosh, all kinds of horrible. You know, my Yoruba wasn't even that good. But I could still pick quite a number there. I would have to, you know, close my ears. I'm praying the spirit. You know, I also, you know, I'll be trying to meditate the word. Can you imagine? Have my Bible. But I survive. Here I am. The rich man is made low. Mm-hmm. So now I understood. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yeah, those are things God had to deal with. He may not deal with us in the same way, but different circumstances in your life, God will bring it and strip you. Look at Pastor Boyega, coming from New York. He thought he was also going to come and do 2 weeks in Nigeria. You know, his brother of blessed memory had passed on. He came to console his mother and said, oh, let me just come to Nigeria. Just say hello to mommy and daddy. You know, he had a master's, you know, in an MBA in New York. His house was still there. He just come to Nigeria for a few weeks, you know, and then go back, you know. And then Shadi came to Scripture Pasture, invited him. God caught him. And the rich became low. Same road. You know, there are just some things you don't learn until. So, but our experiences will be different. Your own will not be the same as mine. But the principles will be the same. God will put you in a situation where you have to humble yourself. Especially if you've been used to a life of privilege and all that. Gloria is another example. You know, and so many of us, TJ to all of us. So we got to learn. You know, I got to close. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the crooked places, and that's why I was preparing the message, but Pastor has done it. You know, a crooked place. How many people remember Jigsaw Puzzle? You know, okay, don't let me even use that illustration. I remember when we were kids, there used to be a maze. You know what a maze is? You know what it's made of? It's made up of straight and wrong ways. So if I'm going there, do you understand? Instead of going this straight road, I go here, then I turn like this. Then I go here, then I turn like this. Then I go here, then that's a crooked way. It is a combination of correct and incorrect knowledge. The incorrect knowledge are the ways off. So that's why it's going to make the crooked places straight. There is a lot of knowledge. For example, the knowledge of prosperity is a correct knowledge. But when you have it and it's not balanced with the other things, it becomes crooked. It's a mixture of correct knowledge. Watch this. The Holy Ghost gave it to me. It's a mixture of correct knowledge in principle and wrong knowledge in detail. That's what it is. That's why you need pastors and prophets and teachers who have revelation knowledge who can straighten it out for you so that your knowledge is no longer crooked. When you have, you know, that's, you know, the general principles of the Bible, everybody in Nigeria knows, even the born one who is not born again in Nigeria now knows that my God will supply all your need. It's become common knowledge. When they see you in the airport, oh, pastor, more anointing. Even the unbelievers know what anointing is. Have knowledge. The knowledge of the Bible is becoming so commonplace. You understand? But a lot of it is crooked knowledge. Because it's full of so many wrong these things. So that's the crooked ways. Then the rough past, like Pastor Joey said, you know, it's unbelief. But like he rightly said, instruction. Detailed instruction. It's straight, but it's rough. If you don't have instruction, you're going to find it rough. Then even when you have instruction, the instruction is kept by mercy and grace. What I taught on Sunday. Mercy and grace. It is mercy, watch this, and write it down. Grace, mercy, and instruction that makes the way smooth. I'm going to say it again. It's grace, mercy, and instruction. It's not even enough to have instruction. You must, after you get the instruction, you know, some of the instructions of the Bible, sometimes they look difficult. But they're not really difficult if you will get the mercy and the grace of God to do it, then the way will now become smooth. So you want complete knowledge without wrong knowledge to straighten the way, and then you want mercy and grace on top of instruction to make the way smooth. Let's stand to our feet. Hello, am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah.
Bring unto you our gratitude.
We lift up to you.
We lift up to you our praise.
We offer up.
We offer our lives in sacrifice.
As
tokens our hands, we.
Beautiful garments of praise. We minister to you.
Say, Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us today, reminding us, instructing us, admonishing us that we need to prepare our hearts for your glory. Father, have mercy on me. I understand that even the doing of your word, even the practice of your word, is by your mercy and grace. I can't do it by natural physical effort alone, even though I must use natural physical effort. But Lord, I look to you now for fresh release of mercy and grace upon my efforts, so that the valleys of low self-esteem and inferiority complex will be filled with the revelation knowledge of my right standing with you by the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I understand that I have been made worthy, not by my birth, not by my natural achievements, but by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what makes me somebody. The blood of Jesus is what makes me important. Not what I have done or not done. Not what I have or don't have. Father, I understand that Christ in me is the hope of glory. With Christ, I have all things. And then, Father, help me to flatten all the hills and mountains of pride and arrogance. Lord God, help me know that there is nothing I have in the natural that can make me who you want me to be. Lord, help me humble myself under your mighty hand. Help me understand that what is highly esteemed in the eyes of men is an abomination in your sight. It is only that which you give, and that is by your mercy and grace, that is of value. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to see things from your perspective. Help me humble myself so that I will deal with my fellow man with humility and not with pride and arrogance. And then straighten my crooked places, knowledge that is wrong, strongholds that are in my mind, lack of knowledge or wrong knowledge. Help me to remove them by your blood, your word, and your spirit as I pray. Casting down imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Pulling down strongholds. And Father, help me. Help me. Help me to receive the instructions of fathers. And Lord God, to act upon them with mercy and grace to make all my rough places smooth. Oh God. Oh God. Help me to prepare my heart for your glory. In Jesus' name.